Sunny gazed up at the signal she had made and couldn't help smiling. The last time she had been separated from her siblings, she had simply waited in the birdcage for them to come and rescue her. But she had grown since then, and was able to take an active part in defeating Count Olaf and his troop, while still having time to prepare a seafood dish.
"Something smells delicious," said one of the white-faced women,
walking by the casserole dish.
"I must admit, I had some doubts that an infant should be in charge of the cooking, but your salmon recipe seems like it will be very tasty indeed."
"There's a word for the way she's preparing the fish," the hook-handed man said, "but I can't remember what it is."
"Lox,"
Sunny said. But no one heard her over the sound of Count Olaf storming out of his tent, followed by Esme and the two sinister visitors. Olaf was clutching the snicket file and glaring down at Sunny with his shiny, shiny eyes.
"Put that smoke out at once," he ordered. "I thought you were a terrified orphan prisoner, but I'm beginning to think you are a spy."
"What do you mean, Olaf?" asked the other white-faced woman. "She's using Esme's cigarette to cook us some fish."
"Someone might see the smoke,"
Esme snarled, as if she had not been smoking herself just moments ago.
"Where there's smoke, there's fire."
The man with the beard but no hair picked up a handful of snow and threw it onto the weeds, extinguishing the verdant flammable device.
"Who are you signalling to, baby?"
he asked, in his strange, hoarse voice.
"If you're a spy, we're going to toss you off this mountain."
"Cuckoo,"
Sunny said, which meant something along the lines of, "I'm going to pretend I'm a helpless baby, instead of answering your question."
"You see,"
the white-faced woman said, looking nervously at the man with a beard but no hair,
"she's just a helpless baby."
"Perhaps you're right,"
said the woman with hair but no beard.
"Besides, there's no reason to toss a baby off a mountain unless you absolutely have to." "Babies can come in handy,"
Count Olaf agreed.
"In fact, I've been thinking about recruiting more young people into my troop. They're less likely to complain about doing my bidding."
"But we never complain," the hook-handed man said. "I try to be as accommodating as possible."
"Enough chit-chat,"
said the man with a beard but no hair.
"We have a lot of scheming to do, Olaf. I have some information that might help you with your recruiting idea. And according to the Snicket file, there's one more safe place for the volunteers to gather."
"The last safe place,"
said the sinister woman.
"We have to find it and burn it down."
"And once we do," Count Olaf said, "the last evidence of our plans will be completely destroyed. We'll never have to worry about the authorities again."
"Where is this last safe place?"
asked Kevin. Olaf opened his mouth to answer, but the woman with hair but no beard stopped him with a quick gesture and a suspicious glance down at Sunny.
"Not in front of the toothy orphan," she said, in her deep, deep voice. "If she learned what we were up to, she'd never sleep again, and you need your infant servant full of energy. Send her away, and we'll make our plans."
"Of course,"
Olaf said, smiling nervously at the sinister visitors.
"Orphan, go to my car and remove all of the potato chip crumbs from the interior by blowing as hard as you can."
"Futile,"
Sunny said, which meant something like, "That is an absolutely impossible chore." But she walked unsteadily toward the car, while Olaf's troop laughed and gathered around the flat rock to hear the new scheme. Passing the extinguished fire and the covered casserole dish where she would sleep that night, Sunny sighed sadly, thinking that her signal plan must have failed. But when she reached Olaf's car and gazed down at the frozen waterfall, she saw something that lightened her spirits, a phrase which here means an identical plume of green smoke coming from the very bottom of the slope.